Welcome to the Centerline Podcast, Episode 2 for June 2021. I'm Alan Bakel, Orientation Center Director here at the Iowa Department for the Blind, here with Nami Wallace, who works in the center here, as well as our special guest today, Lori Berglund. Lori is a staff in training here at the center and just graduated. She will be moving on to her IL division. And I wanted to have a chat with her to find out what she feels she gained from her time in the center. Things that she thinks went well, things that didn't go so well, and things maybe if she has any suggestions for improvement. And with that, let's get started. So, today, Lori, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Al. How are you?
Here with Nami Wallace again.
Hello.
Topic of today is staff and training. Something that I did a business class on not too long ago, actually, which Lori stayed pretty quiet during, which was interesting. So now I get to put her on the spot because she doesn't get a chance to stay quiet. But it was more directed when I was talking to the students about why they thought staff were in training or what they thought a staff person should get out of training. Nami Wallace, you spent some time in training.
Eight short months.
So... just for clarification, because this was one of the things that I was trying to bring up with students, was to see if they could come up with what they felt was like the ideal amount of time or the things that needed to be achieved or something along those lines. And so when we talked about this, are you okay? She just hit her head against the wall.
Don't mind me.
I'm really worried now. You might have a concussion. So looking at... our current requirements, if you are an indirect staff, meaning you don't deal directly with clients, and you're not a teacher, not a counselor, and you're not really dealing directly with people, then you're in for 4 weeks. If you are direct service, what they call direct service, so that would be like teachers and counselors, then you are 12 weeks in the center. There's a little bit on the way of the teachers that I meet with supervisors, and I'll kind of say whether somebody still seems to need something or we talk through it. And so the reason Lori's here today is because Lori just got done with center after 12 or 15 weeks or whatever it all added up to in the end. And we got her out, and now she's starting her work in the field. So congratulations.
Yay. Thank you.
As Nami was saying, back in the day, it used to be a lot different, and there's a lot of reasons around that. Part of them is because of, there's a 6-month probation period for new staff coming online, and, you know, if we wanted to get rid of Lori currently, still could. We could just say, so long, good luck, and, she's out the door or whatever, and, we're out the money we spent on her, but other than that, we're not stuck with her. And so, but you know, so far, Lori's great.
Thank you.
And not really any problems. So, but this kind of like still brings up the whole question of why do we have staff in training? As Nami mentioned, it used to be 8, you know, she was in for 8 months.
Well, and mine was different because I needed to learn how to teach all of the classes, too. So I'd say 6 of the months was me learning, and the other 2 was me teaching under shades.
So you think that delayed your progress? You're not just a slow learner?
Well, it could be that as well. I milked it for all. I mean, I love training.
Right? And I milk. So there's maybe the...
I was like, no. You know, I'm not ready yet. And finally, Sandy's like... You gotta go. You're done.
I'm not ready yet. Well, so there's a question for you, Lori. Did you feel as though you were ready to be done with the center?
That's a really good question. I think part of me was ready to start training for my work in the field. However, there's also a part of me that feels like it could have been longer. I remember when we first started, the first 2 weeks were exhausting and everybody told me that they would be. And then after that, as I kind of got into a groove, so to speak, It went really quickly. And so I'm honestly surprised at how quickly the last several weeks went. And I think for the most part, I accomplished everything I wanted to, but there are still some things that, you know, I'm curious about that, given some more time, I would have been interested in trying to accomplish as well.
So if you would have been around for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
what do you think would have been any different?
I think I would have done a drop-off, which sort of made my stomach hurt when I thought about that, because I would have maybe finally gotten cardinal directions nailed down in a little bit.
The drop-off itself, you would have got those nailed
well,
down?
Well, hopefully before then, but...
I'm just curious if that's how it works.
It just clicked.
Oh, thank gosh. Gosh, it just clicked.
Hopefully long before that, but... And that's one thing, too, that I wish I had coming in, because I think travel would have... I would have advanced more quickly in travel had I had those cardinal directions when I came into the center. But yeah, there's a few other things. Improved my ability to read Braille, maybe my speed at using a slate and stylus. But for the most part, those are the only things that I wish I'd had a little more time for.
Okay. Belief in blindness, would that make a difference? Meaning, if you'd have spent more time, and you come in, see, there's, and I always kind of separate out, right? It feels to me like people will believe in the abilities of blind people long before they believe in their own ability to do things non-visually.
Yes,
I believe that, yeah.
Right, and be okay with that being a little uncomfortable at times, that sort of thing. And so... You know, I don't know with staff and training sometimes. It's like, how far does a person get? Now, I got to say, Lori was probably above the curve in some of your things. Attitude-wise, you definitely were always great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Let's say your skills are probably... Where were her skills? Let's rate her right now.
Let's just put her on the block. One of my favorite is when I was covering travel one time and we were doing some street crossings and she found a manhole cover and she stops, she lifts her hands above her head like she's like in Rocky and just like she made it across and I yell, "You're on a manhole cover, you're still in the street."
Oh, because she thought it was truncated domes?
Yeah.
Oh, how helpful though they are. Now we have blind people stopping on every
in the middle
every
of the street.
Manhole.
Yeah, it's great. No, but...
You put your hands up like you're in Rocky.
I did.
I'm a winner!
I was so excited.
That was earlier on, though. But no, I'd say were doing well in all your classes. It was kind of fun to watch you doing teaching by the end and in a handful of your classes as well. It's... Also, you know, that attitudinal piece, like Al said, you came in already with, like, a belief in blind people, mm-hmm. where others might not have such a strong sense. I was participating in business class and bringing up thought-provoking points during the business classes or even in classes.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's talk about, so a lot of people, they get a job here. They have no understanding of blindness, no history with blindness, nothing. I happen to be blind. My uncle was blind, so that was the only kind of viewpoint of blindness I had. Wasn't the greatest viewpoint of blindness of my uncle, by the way. So that was my early on recognition.
My mom is blind. My dad was a cane travel instructor for.
Yeah, she was like born in this building. She's still here. I think she's somehow.
I'm gonna die
connected.
Here.
Connected to it virtually or with a lanyard, maybe. Real springy one. So, what about yourself?
Yeah. Well, I have a daughter who is 24, and she was born blind. She has albinism, a genetic condition that's. Causes lack of pigment in the eye. And so we always took the standpoint that she could do anything that she set her mind to. And so we exposed her to as much as we possibly could her entire life. And now she's living and working successfully on Long Island. So
sounds expensive.
It is expensive.
It's not all of Long Island is expensive. There's parts that are regular.
She's not in the Hamptons or anything.
Okay,
so,
yeah, well.
Another Montauk Point.
So, yeah, so I was a bystander, I guess is how I would define it, to blindness. I became her advocate until she could advocate for herself, which we pushed her to do when she was a middle schooler. And she became very involved in her own IEPs and that sort of thing. And so, that being said, I hadn't experienced some of the things myself. And so, a majority of the things, so being under sleep shades, I remember there were a couple of times where I would be FaceTiming her and I would say, "You'll never guess what happened to me." And I would describe the situation. She's like, "No kidding, Mom." she may not have used those words, but she's like, "I've told you that, right?"
But it's interesting because it's one thing for someone to be like, "This just happened to me." Especially as a sighted person, and it's like, you can't, like, "Oh, that sucks." But then when it happens to, like, especially, like, with people grabbing you, it's like, "Well, I mean, they were just trying to be helpful. No. Like, this is way too far. Like, don't touch me." But until it happens to you and you realize this is really a, like...
Mm-hmm. Invasion of your space.
Yeah, were there any of those things that you kind of... Or, here's maybe more important. Are there any of these things that you, like, came across that your daughter, like, maybe played you a little bit when she was younger or something, and you're like, "Okay, I'll let that slide because you're blind"?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did that a lot.
And then now you're like, "Wait a minute. It depends, I just got played."
It was usually something that she was hesitant about doing.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And then, for the most part, she usually tried to overcome any obstacles that were in her way. And I was also pretty pushy with her. And if I anticipated that she was trying to use her blindness as an escape, then I would just push her a little bit further. And depending on her age, of course, we were always... mindful of her safety and didn't really force her to do things that would make her uncomfortable to a certain extent. I think you always have to be comfortable being uncomfortable if you're going to learn things.
Yeah.
So that's the approach.
A couple weeks ago, if she said, when she was younger, if she said, I want to go axe throwing.
Right.
What would your response been to that?
I would have been fine with it, I think. I don't know. I mean, now that I've done it, I love some of the things that we were able to do in the center. I actually think I golf better under shades than I do when I have that little ball staring up at me.
You're very good at hitting a cane. She's got a good swing. She nails the ball, by the way. She's really... That wasn't her first time with a club in her hand.
No, but I hadn't had one in my hand for a long time. I think... We challenged her to do things and to try, like when she was young, playing sports as much as she could until she got to an age where the competition was, her sight wouldn't allow her to compete at that level potentially.
Sure.
But then she got into different kinds of sports like goal ball and beep baseball and some of those kinds of things. So, and she's always been a swimmer. So.
Did she ever do the... in the lanes, they were doing different things for blind swimmers, and so like with the little floaty, I don't know, they were like little tentacles that went out either side of the rope. For anyone who couldn't see like the lane marker on the bottom of the pool, this would tell you if you were close to the rope. I don't know how well it worked. I always thought it was interesting though, because I think they went out like a foot or something on either side of the rope itself, and so you'd feel when you were starting to hit those. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. What are some of the things then that maybe you experienced during your training that changed anything or any kind of thoughts that you had?
Yeah, I would say, and you kind of touched on it earlier, when I was grabbed the first time by a pedestrian who was trying to assist me. I can remember when Lauren was younger and how she would advocate for herself if someone tried to grab her arm and help her. She would say, "No, let me take your arm." And at that point, I guess I didn't have the appreciation that I now have for how uneasy it is when someone grabs you and you're not expecting it or you don't see it coming. And so I have a better understanding of how difficult that can be, or how surprising it is when someone just comes up, and even maybe before they start talking to you, they grab a hold of your shoulders and then, here, you need to turn this way, or that sort of thing.
Yeah, they don't know where you're going, but they're right. Sure. They're sure you don't. You don't either.
Right. So, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Nami, what were some of the things that you kind of learned while you were going through training?
For me,
and you came in with an understanding.
Yeah, but I think I was blissfully naive about some things because I mean, my babysitters were blind. I mean, I grew up where blindness is just a normal characteristic. What's the big deal? And then when I was put under shades and I experienced some things like, someone's like, you're going the wrong way. I'm like, no, I'm not. Are you sure? I'm like, I'm 100%. Like, why would you doubt me? Like, I know where I'm going, you know, kind of things. Or just the reaction to the public had. I think growing up, I was blissfully naive and unaware of some of those things because, I mean, blindness, it just was, right? And
Noticed, did your mom carry a cane?
Yeah, my mom carried a cane.
Okay. Did anybody ever yell out at her, like, you're walking on Grand Avenue?
No they would more be like, you need to do this for your mom. And I'm like, no, I don't. You know, those are fun times, right? Mm-hmm. Or I grew up with a dad who, we'd be driving down Grand Avenue, and he'd roll down the window and yell, arc your damn cane! And I'm do you know that person? No, but they weren't covering both sides of their bodies, kind of thing.
This is nice to hear.
And the person would jump, you know? Like,
a blind person walking down the road, you just kind of mellow, and, you know, some guy screams at you.
Are good enough to me.
Yeah. I went through a phase when I was going through training where I hated the public. Like, I was like... My assignment went fine if it weren't for the people, you know.
Mm-hmm. My assignment went fine if not for the people.
Right. I really, really do believe that blindness isn't the disability. It's that social perception about mm-hmm. what it means to be blind that's the disability. And that's kind of where, like, it really was driven home for me is when I was in training and... you know, I remember one time I crossed over 4th and Grand, which is an angled crossing, and I get across, and Mark Edge was my travel instructor, and I didn't realize he was with me. He was kind of shadowing me, and someone comes running up, and I hear them saying, are you with her? Are you with her? And he kind of mumbles something, oh, God bless you, and I'm like, I turn around, I'm like, I crossed the street by myself. Why are you blessing him? Like, what are you doing?
He did nothing.
Well, so
that's why we call him St. Mark.
St. Mark, yeah. But, I don't think my story is very unique in the sense of a lot of people, when they finish the orientation center, people who, staff who are here for, you know, longer than like a month or so, they kind of go into like, what I would call, like, that fierce independent stage.
We hope so, yeah.
Yeah, right? Enrique Mejia, he's our technology instructor in the Orientation Center. I remember his first independent stage lasted for a handful of years.
Yeah, I know. I got a lot of emails. He would send out blanket emails to everybody, which just is like...
Yes, they can. They can do it.
It's him on a soapbox, and he's just, I mean, beating a stick.
Yeah, and it's
very,
like, yes,
very much
we know.
Independence.
But I see this a lot with several staff in training, and I experienced it myself. Where it's like, don't tell me this person can't do it. I know they can do it. I'll fight you. Yeah. I'll fight you.
Coincidentally, Nami's still there.
I'm still kind of there. Yeah,
still kind of there, which is all right.
But I don't know. I came in with a belief that blind people could do whatever the heck they want to do. I think Lori was mm-hmm. kind of the same way.
Yeah, so you two are really lousy people to have on this podcast. But
no, but it's also fun to see. It's also fun to see because we've had, I can think of a counselor who She came from IVRS, I think, and coming in, and her whole belief came in, changed when she was going through training.
I've had a couple.
Yeah.
I've had a couple people that came from a sister agency, which is General VR, and kind of the whole belief sort of changed over a period of time. And I don't always know whether it's like a just the thought process on what we do changed or how we approach things. It's definitely different.
But. Yeah. I remember having a talk with her one time, and she was saying, you know, my idea of advocating for my client has changed from when I took this job to when she was finishing the training. And because she said her idea of advocating was like, we need to get that magnifier for my client. And now her idea of advocating is, let's get them in the orientation center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or you need to, like, speak up. And
yeah, why didn't you tell us what we... Yeah, so it's... So I think you see a lot of that. We have another who she's in the library, and she worked in the school system, and I remember she was in tears because she was like, I realized what I thought was helping wasn't helping.
Mm.
Yeah, she was a para, mm-hmm, in the school system. And then she's like, well, I just wanted to help. And then she realizes, like, well, it's not really.
Yeah.
Not really helping all of the aid that she gave.
Yeah.
Right. So, best and worst travel experience, Lori?
Oh, let's see. I would say the best was on an outing when we traveled for the better part of the day. It was on a Thursday, and I went with all of the students. And it was good because it was really cool.
You've never been on a bus before, right?
I'd never been on a bus. I've been on a bus, but only like... You know, with my family, that sort of thing.
Shaded.
But not shaded, no. Okay. I'd never been on a bus. And so just figuring out, like, where do I put this token? And then finding a seat and trying not to sit on someone who's already seated, which Nami was really good about helping me with that, too, and using my cane to find an open seat, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I would say that was a good day because traveled on the bus.
You guys went a lot of places.
We traveled a lot of places that day, and it all went really well. For me, it was really cool to watch students who'd been in the center longer to really become positive role models for the other students and for me in encouraging us as we were traveling. They did a phenomenal job doing that while also letting us kind of problem solve and figure out where we were and where we needed to go. So that was the best. The worst. Wow.
Do you need a second to think about it? Because I asked Nami what her worst day was.
I think, so my worst one, I don't know if it was the worst, but it's the one that's most memorable and that makes me laugh when I think about it, was when I went to the grocery store to get the ingredients for my meal. And it was a frigid day. And so we were trying to get on the bus quickly. And the other person I was with was pulling the cart. And I was following because it was heavy and all of that, and getting the cart on the bus. And I went to follow and somehow got my cane stuck in the cart and almost face planted right in the bus, trying to get on the bus. And the bus driver, I couldn't figure out what my cane was stuck in. And I knew it wasn't like the curb, and I knew it was. So, and finally, the bus driver very calmly said, "Miss, your cane is stuck in the cart." And so at that point I was like, well, that explains why I'm going face first and can't control anything right now. So I got the cane out of the cart and I was fine after that.
Cane's moving by itself, problematic.
It's like going in front of me without me trying. So
what was your worst day in travel? Nami?
Beaverdale.
Beaverdale, okay.
I was
complex intersection. Just the whole of Beaverdale.
The whole thing.
Good selling point for Beaverdale.
Beaverdale's great. I really like the area now. But
I sold a house right by where this
you did,
thing happened.
You did, yeah. So Mark sent me out, gave me a mystery address. I had to research the area, figure out what bus to take. I mean, this is by the end of my training even. Told the bus driver where to let me off. We get there. He's like, I don't feel comfortable letting you off here. So he passes that.
Oh my gosh. I don't feel comfortable with you getting off of this stop.
He lets me out. And the bus stop is like, it's like this big long driveway.
Oh no.
And so I keep drifting into the street. And you know how people, you respond differently to how people respond to you. And so people are like yelling, oh my God, you're in the street. And I'm like, oh my gosh. You know? And so I'd like, but I don't know how, where the heck not the street is, because it was right? all flat. It was like one long driveway yeah. thing.
I don't feel comfortable letting you off here.
And so he lets me off in the stop that's like on either side of the giant parking lots. It was weird. Aww. And so I crossed a boulevard without even realizing it. I have no clue. And then I find a building, and I'm shorelining the building to figure out the address, and there's no door. And then I find another building, and there's no door. And I find another building, and there's no door. And I backtrack, and I end up crossing a boulevard again without realizing it. Someone yells, oh my God, you're in the street, and I freak out.
Was this like Urbandale Drive or
something? It was, yeah.
Okay.
And,
really busy.
And this is, you know, and I'm in tears, and I eventually...
7 months in, she's a big failure.
So eventually, I'm like, my shades are drenched because I'm like standing in the middle of Urbandale Drive, bawling. Cars are going on either side of me, around me. Like literally a traffic cop. Or I was on the bull. I don't know. And then I end up crossing a street again. Someone honked at me, yelled at me for being in a parking lot. And I'm like, that's it. And I throw my shades off and I stomp on them and they're the mindfold. So they snapped.
Oh, no.
And I called Mark. It's like 6 o'clock in the evening by this time. I left like right after lunch, like just to kind of put perspective. Oh. I called Mark and I was like, I'm getting fired tomorrow. I quit this stupid lesson. There's no doors in Beaverdale. I'm going home. I'm not even stopping back at the building. I'm just taking the bus home. And he was like, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I'm like, no, no talking. And so I went into Sandy's office after announcements.
Yeah.
Just 100% sure that I was going to be fired. Because I told Mark, I like lifted my shades. I'm not putting it back on. I was done. I was done. This was like 6 hours after I got on a bus out there. And all Sandy said is, so I heard you had a rough time in Beaverdale. You know you have to go back out there, right? And I was like, yes, I know. And the next time I went out there, I found the address that I was needing, and turns out that a lot of the places there have like a step up, so that's why I couldn't find the door, because it was like the steps up. Because I stopped someone, I'm like, why can't I find a door? And they're like, because there's a step, which it made the same sound as like the building. So.
Sure.
You bet.
Yeah.
And it's Beaverdale, why would you need to go there anyway?
I got chocolate, like they had like those like chocolate covered.
They do have some good stuff in Beaverdale.
Marshmallows.
Chocolate marshmallow. Well, yeah. That's worth going back out for then.
Mm-hmm. I dreaded it. I was like, had like a flop. I got on the bus and I was like sweating because it was such a bad experience the first time. But man, it felt so good when I made it.
So that was your worst experience.
That was my worst experience.
Very good. So that was your worst. What was your best? What was your best experience in travel?
Oh, I don't know. I had so many.
Be like Colorado.
No.
Colorado was.
No,
what about Living History Farms?
That was good.
When Mark left you.
Mark left me, and I had to find the group by myself. And the entire time, I'm like...
And what were you doing as to why you couldn't follow the group?
I was looking at yaks.
Was it a yak?
I don't know. It was a big horn animal. No, it was a big horn
animal. Oh, it's that... is that what they call those?
Yeah, we were in like the 1700 or 16... I don't know, the farms... And he's like, Do you want to pet this plow animal? And I'm like, sure. And then I get done. And they're like, I'm like, where's my group? They're like, oh, they left. And I was like, why didn't you say something?
Was that an oxen?
I don't know. It was a big horned animal that was pulling a cart.
Echo, do we have yaks in the United States? Just seeing. Yeah. Okay, something about estheticians. All right. Echo cancel. Okay.
The American version of a yak. I don't know. Anyway, the entire time I'm like...
I believe it's an ox.
I'm like, Mark, and I'm like cussing him out under my breath. And I got lost a couple of times, and then I found him, and then it felt really good because I didn't need him after all. Like, I thought I need... Actually, you know what my favorite, my best moment in travel was, is Mark and I were going to, walking to DMAC. We walked up to DMAC, and we were on Laurel Street.
Sure.
And there's a big driveway, and someone yells, "Hey, you're in the street." And Mark's like, "Nami, you're in the street." And he's like, "No, I was talking to you, sir." And I was like, "Oh, I'm not in the street. My teacher is." And it's really good.
It's not a very wide sidewalk.
It's not, no.
Were you on the Holiday Inn side of that?
Yes. Yep, the Holiday Inn.
That's a pretty wide driveway going into the
Holiday
Inn. It is.
I know, but I just want to point out that, like, it was my travel instructor who was in the street and not me. And that was a really good feeling.
Yeah, your same travel instructor walked right next to me in the parking garage one time when we were going to an elevator for something. And I was up on the sidewalk and he was down in the thing, but he's shorter anyway, and he just let me walk straight into a concrete girder.
That's good for you.
That goes across.
How do you learn?
So, when we were out on a travel thing where he was walking shaded with me and we were kind of really moving fast to get back here for something. I don't remember what. We had to get back. And we were over by Yonkers, and there was these pillars. And he ran face first into the pillar and collapsed to the ground. Mm. We were really hoofing it. And I just laughed at him. And all the people around were like, "Is he okay?" And I was like, "I don't know. He's fine. Leave him alone. He's fine. Leave him alone." He kind of slowly got up, and he was chuckling, and I'm like, "Yeah, that hurts, doesn't it, to run face first into something?" So that was me getting him back, which is fine. So through the time, though, it's interesting, and you were around some other folks who were also in training. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting to see people. Now, Lori had a great attitude coming in. Sometimes we don't have people with great attitudes coming in because they're here for the job. And let's say they're starting as an indirect. So they're here for a month and they could be an accountant or and I'm not like pointing out anybody specific. So if anyone's listening, there's no specifics here. Anyway, but we've had people come in for direct too who have not had a great attitude necessarily about the training.
No, it can be. It's like, listen, I was hired to do this. Why am I? I just want to get to that.
Yeah.
But my question. So, you know, Lori, I'm assuming for you because it was like this for me, and I've been in other interviews. During the interview, were you asked if you were okay? Yeah. And
yes.
When you heard that, what was your first thought? Because
I was a little apprehensive. To be honest, I thought, well, that's going to be interesting. However, I understand with the role that I'm playing and just in general, if you're an employee of the department, why it's important to be able to do things non-visually.
Was this your answer, by the way?
Nope.
Did you answer honestly?
I did answer honestly. I said, I'm a little apprehensive, but I'm
oh, you did?
To the challenge.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that is an honest answer. I was really going to call you out on the fact that you lied during your interview.
No, I don't. I was, because I was. I mean, it's something I hadn't tried before, but I think, again, like, you have to push yourself, and I've learned so much that I'm really glad I had the chance to do it.
I did have someone who answered it once, and I've had it answered a lot of different ways, that same question. But this person, like, had experience with blindness, that kind of thing, and the person's answer was something around the lines of, that sounds not real great. I don't know why anybody would really be excited about that. I'm not excited about it, and it doesn't sound good.
There was an interview that I was on, and they said, "Well, sure, I can walk down a hallway. I'm going to look drunk because that's what drunk blind people look like. But yeah, I can do it." And we're like, "Yeah, thanks for your time."
That particular interview candidate, I was in on that, and that was one of my favorite interviews because I just kept like exploring the vastness of this person's belief, and this person already worked with blind people.
Yeah.
And then they would do things like, there was something about fall prevention
seminar.
And I'm like, ooh, that sounds wonderful. Tell me about that.
I'm kicking you under the
table. And I'm getting kicked under the table by the other
interviewers. I don't want to hear this anymore.
And then this person's like, well, it's an 8-week course. And I'm like, oh, all just to prevent falls? How do you get it done so quickly? It just goes on and on and on.
So bad.
It was not good.
Well,
so,
no, the reason I asked, though, because, you know, for your job, yeah, it makes sense, right? You're right. Like, okay, I need to be able to do this. And it's interesting too. When I've talked to people, it's like, well, yeah, because I need to know what it's like because I need to sympathize with it. No, that's not why. Or people who are indirect, it's like, well, this has nothing to do with numbers, or it has nothing to do with cleaning the building, or it has nothing. You know, whatever. Fill in the blanks.
So we do have people that come in, and they are not excited about the training.
Mm-hmm.
They're not excited about being in the orientation center as compared to sitting at their desk learning their job. And we try and you try and indirectly say, this is your job right now. You're being paid to be here. But they don't always respond well to that. And
some are like, this is awesome.
Yeah, what I always like to hope for and is the person that comes in and they're not thrilled about it, but they keep at least a bit of an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them you're going to be exhausted, and then by the end of a month, they're like, this is awesome. I'd like to stay here and not go back, go to whatever it is you hired me to do, because I think I need to stay in the center a lot longer.
I mean, right now we have an indirect in training, and she's loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she kind of got over that hump of like, to like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, she's done at the end of this week.
I know.
It really does take that first 2 weeks. You're just trying to kind of...
Oh,
it's a lot. It's so much thinking.
I'd go home and go to bed.
Oh, I was exhausted as well. And so when I think about that month, by the time you're just kind of...
Hitting your stride,
and you've got your schedule, and you kind of know what to expect, at least sort of expect, because every day is different, but... then it's over.
And, you know, I'm glad, though. I love the fact that it doesn't matter what role you play in this agency. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets the training.
Agreed.
I mean, it's going to look different for each person, right? So you're in longer than... Because you are actually going to be working on the skills. So you got to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen our maintenance guys and someone... drop something, and they're like, oh, thank goodness you're here. Can you get that for me? And they're like, nope, I know you can do it. Like,
that's why it's important.
Yeah,
Randy's been very vocal. He was actually in that the latest one where I was talking about staff and training during a business class. So he was in there, and he's like, I got put back in training. which, when I was hired to be in the center, I put Randy back in training. Because I needed him to be less helpful. And he's helpful by his nature.
Yes, yes.
Like, his nature is just, he cannot help himself but to be helpful. And I need to try and curb that.
But it was a little above and beyond if you could, for the blind staff and students.
Yep.
Like, you know, he'd hop up and help me with something, but he would actually, like, show me how and then leave. Whereas, like... if it were Enrique, he'd be like, here, just, I got it. And it's like, no, Enrique can.
Yeah, so I don't know, he figured it out.
Now he's like, nope, sorry.
He caught me once. I was talking to a student and who was trying to find something. And so then he said, you know, you have to let them find it themselves.
Good.
And I'm like, yes, I know. It's just, I'm kind of that helper nature too. And so it's hard for me to not help people. But yeah, so he said, yeah, you have to let them find it themselves. I'm like, yes, I know. I forgot.
It's interesting. So the kind of the last question on this, and it's what I asked before, which is, we use a time, an amount of time in the center as just, we needed something that is this baseline sort of thing. Because otherwise, what do you go after? Well, you could go after milestones or goals as to what someone should learn in the center.
We do to an extent as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is like the timeline, but it's like, these are the things that we're hoping that Lori gets to in this amount of time.
Yeah. Well, that's always going to be there, though, because right. we run, I mean, that's just, we're not going to like, it's not a la carte in any kind of way, so.
No.
Right. But I, in some ways, I still wonder if it's better. And here's why I say this. Not everybody makes it as far as Lori did in 12 weeks. We've had people make it in 4 weeks, what some people take 2.5 months to do. So I've just, you know, you get this wide variety of, mm-hmm. and just because someone gets the skills doesn't mean they're getting what you want them to be able to get. Maybe they're just really good at learning skills and learning Braille and these things. They just mm-hmm. pick up on things very, very quickly, which we've had that too. Does that really get across what we want people to learn if they're in the center? So I'll push that back to you two to answer.
I think it's a combination of those two things, but I think the mindset is, and the attitude, and equally, if not more important, whether you're direct or indirect, because you're working with a community, and you need to, I don't know that understanding is the right word, but at least be able to, understand a little bit about what it means to be blind, and that it doesn't mean that there are things you can't do, that your opportunities are endless. And as Nami mentioned earlier, it's a characteristic, it's a trait. It's, and I think understanding some of that is just as important as the skills.
I agree. And I think, I think the skills and the attitude go hand in hand. I mean, the more skills you feel are under your belt, the more positive outlook you're going to see towards it, and the more positive attitude you have, the more likely you're going to push yourself outside of your comfort zone to gain more skills. So I think they really do go hand in hand. I also think it's important across the board, you know, if we have a counselor who's going through training and they are like, well, I don't understand why a student needs home ec if they're going to be in if their job goal is an accountant, hopefully by the end of their training, they can understand why it's important to feed yourself to be successful as an accountant.
It's across the board, right? Yeah, so, what if you leave out home ec and mm-hmm. just focus more on Excel? Does that tell that person that a person's not broken in some way? I mean, it's like, well, you don't have any home ec, extra Excel. They never do any of the home ec stuff shaded, non-visually. In some ways, they're missing that part. Mm-hmm. And so then, is it easy to say, well, sure, but I don't know necessarily about cooking over an open flame.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Clearly, they can do a lot of stuff, but maybe not over an open flame. I don't know. And the other thing, I've heard people come in and they said, you know, they can name off what our mission and vision is. And in no way do they believe them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in no possible way do they believe what our mission and vision. So you get this kind of lip service. I appreciate someone looking it up before they, you know, have an interview. But I would be more appreciative of them getting to the end of their training and understanding what the philosophy is.
Well, and that's what I think that's what's important. That key is by the end of their training. I mean, I understand if someone comes in and they, like Lori and I, we had previous experience about blindness, but someone, you know, who coming in who doesn't really have any experiences whatsoever, or maybe not positive experience about blindness. Maybe they know that one blind person who might give all blind people a bad rap, right? And I think if by the end of it, they're still kind of like, well, I don't, you know, I have a client who wants to do this. I just don't know how a blind person can do it. Then they probably didn't get what we hope they get out of the training.
Yeah.
Usually, I'd say 99.872% of the time.
I think that's a made-up statistic.
It's a NAMI statistic.
Yes, just a number.
But I'd say a big chunk of the time, when people leave the training, they have a pretty positive understanding or belief about blindness. And so, you know, if that client, they go knock on the client's door and the client's like, well, I used to do this and now I can't, rather than saying, okay, yeah, I get it, they'd be like, well, why can't you? Like, let's talk about that. Let's have that discussion.
That'll be you, Lori. Yeah. Lori, right. Yeah. Lori is going into our independent living division. Mm-hmm. Is there, I won't say going into, is there, along with another, we had someone else started right around the same time as you. However, she's was a graduate, and so she's been running around. So I know the two of you run around. Anything different you've learned about blindness, trailing her around all over town, whatever you guys have gotten into in the way of mischief? No? Nothing you care to share in public?
Well, no, I think the independence piece, because as I mentioned, I was a bystander as it related to raising my children. And although my daughter is an adult, I'm still her mom. And so there's a part of me that wants to be that protective person.
Sure.
That's a little awkward with a colleague, right? Saying, oh, here, I'll do this, or watch out for that, right?
Right.
But because, again, as a helper, it's just part of my nature to want to, like, oh, watch out, there's a curb there kind of thing, because I've done it. Even though I knew that my child could manage it just fine, it's still just kind of a habit for me. And so I've gotten better at not doing that by spending a great deal of time with this colleague. And just, I mean, we do all kinds of things together. And it's, I mean, yeah, the whole thing is that blindness is a characteristic of her, right? And it's just part of who she is. And yeah, it's...
What just went through in my head is I'm remembering every time I'm in England, which isn't as often anymore as I used to be, but I'd be over there, and it's like retraining people again. So I'll have cousins or something. It's like, mind the step, mind the door, mind the book, mind the, and it's all I hear. Mind the. It's like, okay, well... You know, things in when English people say things, it sounds better most of the time, or more intellectual. Let me tell you, this gets just as annoying, possibly more so, because it's someone who has this English voice, and so then they sound intelligent, which is making me feel as though I am less intelligent because I am not. I'm minding it with my cane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I mean, the more you're around. The less you're gonna want to jump in and help.
Right.
There was one time I was walking with Al. We were getting stopping somewhere for lunch, and he wasn't using his cane correctly, and he crashed into a garbage can on the sidewalk. And he's like, "Why didn't you warn me?" I'm like, "Cause you weren't using your cane correctly. If you were using your cane correctly."
It was a rhetorical. It was kind of a rhetorical, like, "Whoa! How could you just let me?"
I'm your boss.
I think we were.
No, he was all.
We were really hoofing it down the road.
We were.
We're like moving, and I'm like, "All right," and I just knocked that over.
Let me just stop and pick that up.
Let me just stop and sort of pick that thing up. Which, of course, I know better.
And he was joking when he was.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I know better, and so that's why it's like, why wouldn't you warn me? What's wrong with you? Don't you care? And I care more than you'd think. That's why I didn't say anything. And that's a painful lesson. There you go.
Yeah.
You have those sorts of things. And I sure enough was not using my cane correctly.
I think it's because we were hoofing it and talking.
We were talking and not paying attention. I wasn't paying attention to
exactly
what might be in my way. It's crazy. What do you mean? Yeah. So that is kind of the reason behind the... What else do you think we should do with staff and training? Suggestions, Lori?
You mentioned earlier that you've had individuals who maybe question, like, why these classes, or, you know, do I have to do this class, that sort of thing. And I think they all work really well together to help with that structured discovery, and that there are things that you learn in one class that you can apply and transfer to another class. And so I think that taking them all simultaneously is really effective. I thought it was fun when we had the IL students here. They all loved shop, right? I think most of them were kind of afraid this of it group, at first.
Yeah. This group, yes.
They were
groups,
they were
other
so
groups
excited.
In the past, no.
And so, but I think it's a nice balance of the variety of courses with the skills that you learn. I don't know, like off the top of my head, if there's anything that's missing. I would say that most students probably kind of figure that out as they go along, that things that you learn something in one class that applies to another. If they don't, they're probably not paying attention in business class, because we talk so much about a variety of things and how, you know, some of the conversations overlap at times because things are interchangeable.
Now, here's a question for you. So we talk about transference a lot. So and what I mean by transference is non-visual skills that are learned during the day in classes that are then used by a student in the evenings. And what we really hope for is you start having that transference on your own. In the way of students, we can assign them stuff to do in the evenings, assignments and that kind of stuff. In the way of staff, we can't. And so, but it is always curious to me to see what kind of things people transfer. Who are staff in training? Who transfer some of these non-visual skills into their own personal life? Because they end up being more efficient in one way or another. Any of those that you can think of?
Yeah, I've noticed certain things. Well, when I plug things in, I don't necessarily look at the plug-in anymore.
I do keys.
You put your keys in outlets?
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, good clarification, Al. Thank you.
I just needed some clarity.
No, you're right. No, but I don't necessarily look when I'm using a key. So one thing that comes to mind readily is going home for the weekend and cutting my finger because I was trying to do more things than I should have been at once. I was having a conversation. I was looking at the person. And I can say in all of the hours I spent here in the kitchen, I didn't once even come close to nicking a finger. And because I was distracted at
home. Funny thing about cutting yourself, it's either you do or you didn't come close.
Right.
Right, but, Nami?
Right.
Right.
So, there are things that I've definitely transferred into my personal life and have learned that it's much more efficient to do it non-visually.
I wear sleep shades when I chop onions so I don't cry.
There you go. Yeah.
And
does that work?
It does.
It does.
Do you also not breathe through your nose?
I don't know what it is, but like I don't cry if I wear my shades and chop onions.
Yeah.
Well, big girl stuff.
Yeah. It's funny, too, whenever we have, like, someone over, they're always like, why don't you ever have lights on in your house?
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah.
So you say John doesn't allow it. John doesn't want to pay for them.
No. But, like, my sister would come to town, and she's like, why do you guys always cook in the dark? And I'm like, oh, it's, yeah. I don't know.
Does John do it too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My husband went through the training as well.
Yeah, I have the same issue. I don't turn any of the lights on in the house at all, for the most part. And so I'll be cooking. I'll do it. And eventually Tiff will come out for something and be like, she'll end up turning. She'll like, do you mind if I turn the lights on? It's like, nope, doesn't bother me. Turn them on. I don't care.
It was funny, though, because I had gotten just a little bit of training. Some previous training before I was married, and on our wedding night, there was like a tornado that whipped through and a huge storm, and there was power out. And we went to a bed and breakfast, and they're like, do you need a flashlight? Because we were like up on the third floor, and it was like these like really, I'm like, I don't need a flashlight. I've had, but I didn't have a cane.
She had no cane.
Oh, no. And my house is like, oh, I'm going to have a flashlight. And I'm like falling over everything because I was like, I don't need a flashlight.
Coincidentally, Nami, a lot of times just in walking.
Oh, me
I'm
too.
I'm a klutz, yeah.
With no cane. Yeah. We noticed this about her in Baltimore, which was, she's walking along with people. None of the blind people trip over anything. Mommy's tripping over everything.
I didn't have a cane, and they have horrible streetlights in Baltimore. But my husband also noticed.
That's
like,
to hide the crime.
He was like, do you notice that you walk straighter when you use a cane than when you don't? It's like, no, I didn't notice.
You do kind of wander around the. Yeah. I do it too, though, a little bit. I depends on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
But,
we must share that because I tripped up the stairs at night here.
Yeah.
That'll happen. And then there's all the things that you start questioning yourself about. It's like, was that just me being a klutz? What was the problem there?
Yeah. Another thing I do too that I didn't before training is like, if I go into a room, it's like, where did I put my phone? I don't have to go turn on a light to go look for the phone. I just go and I'm able to.
Yeah, I find myself doing that too.
How about computers? So one of the things that a lot of times people pick up is some of the non-visual, some of the keyboard commands, that kind of stuff. They'll start picking up those and using those rather than a mouse.
Yes.
That's pretty common. Mm-hmm. So I always say, we've got some more efficient computer users here in our general population just because of the training
side
of things.
It's so much faster.
Mm-hmm. It is.
My wife worked here years ago. She still uses a lot of the computer, different.
The Windows commands?
Yeah.
Windows commands, mm-hmm. yeah. Just because they're more efficient for what she wants to do.
Yeah.
I haven't quite got my son to use them yet, though, but I've never slapped sleep shades on him. So there's always this weekend.
Yeah.
But I haven't done that yet. Nami, anything you think we should work with staff and training on?
No,
we don't already.
I mean, I'm obviously a little biased in the sense that I work in the orientation center. So I like to think...
She's very biased.
I like to think that we try to keep it well-rounded. Mm-hmm. But I'm always interested talking to someone who's finished this training to see what their impression of it was.
Yeah.
I like the fact that we did the IL integration while you were here in the center.
Yeah.
We've got another one for the fall. I think September. Is when I think Kim and I set the date for it. So I don't know whether you'll be around for that or not. Mm-hmm. But
I hope so.
Do you know yet?
Yeah, I think I will be here.
I mean, mm-hmm. I could put in a good word either way.
No, we've talked about it a little bit, and I'm excited about it.
That's always I always really like that week, mm-hmm. And then I always like to I do the recap on the Friday, so I get to hear what everybody did wrong all week long. As far as my staff, I get to hear all the things. It's like, well, so-and-so, why was this a problem? But anyway, it's, but I didn't hear any problems with you this week, this last time, so that was good. And I know you kind of were able to work with some of those folks, mm-hmm. and, which was good.
Yeah.
No more ideas for what we need to put people through?
Put people through.
I think we should keep them 6 months again. I'm still in favor of that.
I mean, I think I need more training, Al.
So that is the other point, right? So we do, for anybody who's a teacher who works for us, there's a 5-year re-up on training. And so if you've been here 5 years, this is coincidentally where Nami keeps trying to push herself back into training.
Mm-hmm. I'll be here 10 years.
She keeps saying, but mm-hmm. then she did her training 2 or 3 years ago, so she's got a couple years
before. I think we need to go off of my start date.
Yes, I know.
I mean...
But we won't.
My thing, and I wish that everyone, and not just teachers, that everyone could re-up, because I think once you've kind of left, you leave the training... And you're pumped, and it's like, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
That first independent stage. But I think the longer you're away, the easier it is to kind of forget.
Well, there's
about
the other thought too. We take people who they've never done their job before. They don't know what things they face. They don't know what questions they face. They don't know any of these things, right? So we only bring the people back in who are teachers, and we say, okay, every 5 years, which coincidentally, Mark, who we talked about earlier, 5 years comes up next year.
Has it? No, he just re-upped. Wait.
4 years ago.
No.
Yep. So it'll be 5 years. And so he'll be back in. We've got...
Five.
I know. We've got a number of people that'll be coming back through to re-up. And that's okay. It's always... What we try and get it done is if Nami's going back through... I expect Nami to be done in 3 days.
It's not... Yeah, I know.
Okay, so all she has to do
I really like our training. I want
Braille out. I'm trying to think what it is. Okay, Braille out one page. Mm-hmm. You have to...
With 99% accuracy.
Right, do a document in Word.
Yep.
And edit the document and email it.
Yep.
Okay, so usually what we'll do is have her Braille out, like, her menu.
No. I did a whole thing, like, Terry had me write a whole thing about, like, if I had, could go anywhere, where...
Well, you're not required to do that. So what you could have done was you do the document, which is like your menu and whatever, and then you email that to your supervisor, and then you could have done like your shopping list or whatever in Braille. And then we probably went a little bit harder on you about the one page in Braille. And then you go and travel to the grocery store, which because you have to do a travel route, which includes
a bus,
and intersections, lighted controlled intersections, and so that kind of like takes care of all of that.
Yeah,
and then your meal,
and then you have a meal
the next day.
Yep, and then you have a little shop project, small little shop thing.
So for my last re-up, he gave me 3 days.
Oh my gosh!
She tried scheduling it for a month.
I did.
She's like, I think it's going to take me a month. I'm really, really behind in everything.
No, I mean, I genuinely like the classes. So
this is what happens, right? You get so comfortable in training,
it's like
a vacation to where they don't really have any responsibilities to do their job.
Oh.
Right? There's no job, really.
My responsibilities are the tasks that have to get done in
class. That's it, though. And those are like second nature to you at this point. So it's like, this is just a joke at this point. It's like,
I'm going to cook
salmon. What did you make last time? Salmon?
I did salmon. I did a Parmesan mixed vegetable bake. And
that was pretty good.
Yeah. Shoot, I don't remember what else.
Anyway, it's always just like...
I did like a bar. I think I did like a brownie bar, like a...
Oh.
Okay, so anyway, nothing over the top hard for her. So she's just phoning it in at this point. Because she's got the skills. And that's what I want. I want my staff to be like, yeah, this is no big deal. That's why we also do, like, we cook at... around the holiday season, we'll have the students do the Thanksgiving meal.
And we do the holiday.
And then the staff has to cook the holiday meal shaded.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which our meal always is fantastic.
Yes.
And on time. And so is the students.
I have to say that theirs was really good too.
I know. And we try to, you know, it's required that my staff where they teach shaded at least one day every month.
Yep.
Activities that we go on, they're shaded.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of those things. And so just kind of keeping those skills up. But that's because in the center, we really want our staff to be as proficient as any student at any one of the skills. And so we work pretty hard at that.
I would say the one thing, and I know, like, with COVID, this was a thing, and we're kind of inviting people back for activities, but making sure that, like, the staff participate in a handful of activities while they're in training.
Yeah, a few people went through training where we had COVID, and so we didn't really get the activities in. And the activities really do give somebody a chance to experience. It's one of the things like about training to say, well, I don't, it's the goal is not to have you understand what it's like to be a blind person, but it also doesn't hurt you to some point be discriminated against because you're a blind person.
Mm. I mean, you're actually a sighted person. Lori was there when we were discriminated at the restaurant after golfing.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
barbecue place.
We were fuming.
Oh.
Yeah, because you guys were blind, so they just assumed you were all together, even though you were paying separately.
And started waiting on people behind us.
And had them go around ahead of us.
Called up the people behind
called up the people,
you.
The sighted people behind us to take care of us.
So then I loudly was saying, this guy awkwardly is like, are we supposed to cut you? I'm like, apparently she doesn't want to serve blind people. And Laura's over there like, oh, jeez.
No, did Nami do this? What were some of the things? I wasn't there, obviously. Good. What did she say? Because she gets
she
a little
not
rowdy.
Blind at all. No, it was.
She gets a little rowdy.
Thank you.
No, you weren't.
That's it. Defend her, Lori.
Seriously, she was great.
Yeah.
So, well, because we had a student who walked up to.
He walked
right up to that person who said, "I'll help you over here," and he got up there and pretended like she wasn't there.
And then she left, got a manager, and the manager came out and said, "You guys just cut through the seating area. She'll serve you over here."
Nice.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I kind of heard what was happening, but then I could tell from when Nami got frustrated, quietly frustrated.
I don't think I was very quiet.
Well, you weren't shouting or anything, but you just kind of were standing there going, "I can't believe this is happening." And so that's when I kind of put two and two together and realized that others had been served ahead of us.
But as a staff member, I wanted our student to take, I mean, this guy is so nonchalant. He's like, "Whatever, it's fine." And I mean, if he was upset about it, I would have helped him advocate, but he just could care less. So I just,
he was pretty chill. He's definitely like the chill guy, but and I called up there later.
To talk to some
folks and see what happened. We could have went and protested, I suppose. You know, that I just said some better training would be nice for your staff, obviously. Do you always assume that if one group of people that have a characteristic the same come in, you just treat them all in the same group? They're all going to be together. You know, every redhead that comes, they get a group of three redheads. They're clearly all together.
Right.
The thing, though, is I'm glad that, you know, Lori, you were able to experience that firsthand. You know, if the student came back and was like, "Let me tell you about what just happened," it's not quite the same as being there and feeling like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening."
We had some other ones. The other one that we had was pretty good, which is recent, was out at the mall. they're like, "Oh, you guys can't come into the store. We have a lot of breakable stuff." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" And the girl that they were discriminating against was the girl who wanted to go to that store. She's like, "I got to show you guys this store. This store is awesome. We'll go there. I'll show you the store when I get there." And this girl's like, "You guys can't come in here."
Yeah.
Wow.
And she's like, "What do you mean?"
And we had one of our...
She's a pretty outspoken...
Yeah, and one of our staff in training was participating in that as well, and she just was like completely
The one that wanted to go to the store.
She's the one who wanted to
So not only did she want to go to the store, but once she got there, then they're discriminating against her.
So we went back as a big upset group, and I just went it, and I had everyone go in with me.
I think we went back. Yeah, what did I say? Or like, I mean, normally we don't necessarily do that, but I was like, "No, we're going back." I was like, "We'll just we need more activities. Let's go." So we went as a bigger group. We went as a bigger group not long after that. So, all right. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. And we do have another podcast now, which is Debunking Blindness. Make sure you check that out. That is with Nami, Enrique Mejia, and myself, where we kind of cover over and compete to get the best business class of the month.
It's going to be mine this month.
It will? Yeah. We'll see. And Lori, thank you very much. We're very happy that you're here at the agency. You were definitely a great hire. Don't tell Kim I said that. you know, she always says, "Hands off. You don't get to steal her," is what she'll say. I already know.
Thank you.
Because people know I come trying to steal employees from other divisions.
That's how we got Zach and Enrique.
That's how we do it around the orientation center.
And Hannah.
That's right. So, all right, Lori, thanks again. Nami, have a great day. And that's it.